go into this. King David, this is what was written in 2 Samuel. On that day, Gad went to David, Gad was a prophet, and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went up, and as the Lord had commanded through Gad, and when Araunah looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David answered, to buy your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on my people may be stopped. You know, that's kind of important, because when Israel was going through tough times, a plague, famine, they went to the Lord. They may have been disobedient prior to that, but at least they went to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord, right? And listen to what David says. Well, Araunah said to David, let my Lord take whatever he wishes. Offer it up. Here are the oxen for your burnt offering. Here are the threshing sledges and yokes for the wood. Your Majesty, Araunah, gives all this to the king. And Araunah said to him, May the Lord your God accept you. But the king, King David, said to Araunah, no, I insist on paying for it. For I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Whoa. He said, okay, Pastor, what does that mean? That means let's recognize that when we come to worship, it does cost us something. Time, right? We give an offering, correct? But it has to be done with the right heart. It has to be done with the heart of saying, Lord, I'm praying you be pleased with this sacrifice of worship. The musicians, the technical team, and those who even clean the church are making sacrifices so we can come to worship together. And then there's one New Testament passage I want to read to you as we begin the service. Romans 12:1. Therefore, Paul writes, I urge you. The language there is I plead with you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Oh, talking about having skin in the game? Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. In other words, Paul is saying that worship ought to involve our mind, our heart, and our will. Wow. It's not a spectator sport. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm doing this so we can learn something about worship. And, you know, with that kind of backdrop, I want to start the service. I'm going to ask the singers to come up. I am glad you're here today. I got the temperature set to 68 degrees. So you have no excuse for not singing. Here's the way I'd like to work this, if you're okay. You can stand, you can sit, you're free to worship in whatever posture you want. The reason why I say that is because we have a lot of songs that I put in here, but they each have a purpose. In these first two songs, the first song is a confession, because Matt Redman knew that the church in general had taken worship and made something out of it that it was never supposed to be, a spectator sport. And so he says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, you demand more than a song. In other words, you demand my heart. And so as we kick off the worship, I ask you to sing this prayerfully.
Mm-hmm. and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
The Bible is replete. You know what replete means? It means that there's a lot of them. Invitations by God and Christ himself to come and worship. It's up to us to respond to the invitation. You get an invitation to a wedding, it's got what? RSVP. Répondez, s'il vous plaît, right? And if you don't respond, you gave your answer. You don't want to go. With God, there's no getting away. He invites us. We're not worthy. Christ makes us worthy. Would you come to worship?
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes.
Some confessing to do. I know I do. Nobody here, I believe, has not sinned this week. I certainly have. And 1 John says if we say we don't sin, we make God a liar. He knows we sin. And here's the confession, I believe. We have to confess our sins. Let me just give you a couple of examples. How many of us are here thinking about after the service rather than being immersed in the presence of God? How many of us are thinking about how hot it's going to be today rather than be in the presence of God? It ought to be that nothing matters when we're in the presence of God. It's just Him and us. That sounds far-fetched to you. I'm sorry, but it's biblical. The other thing, too, is that we need to confess the distractions, because God, even through music, and sometimes music is better than a sermon, Sometimes God wants to change us from the inside out, transform us into the image of his own Son by his Holy Spirit and the power of his word. So when can we sing the song prayerfully? Ladies. There's a time to lift your hands to the Lord. In the scripture it says, Lord, I lift up your name. You know what the significance of raising hands is? A lot of people, we wasted too much time years ago on the worship wars. A lot of people thought, you know, people raised hands that they were calling attention to themselves that it was wrong. No, it was biblical. Let me ask you a question. When a baby starts to walk and mom or dad come home, what do they do when they walk over? They raise their hands. What an appropriate reaction to God our Father. If you have the freedom to raise your hands, do it. He's our Father. Lord, I lift my hands on high. Thank you. You all just became part of the choir. That was great. Isn't it freeing to express yourself in worship? Is something freeing about it? You know, David got criticized by his wife, of course, right? When the Ark of the Covenant came back into Jerusalem, he was dancing in the streets. He was almost naked. And his wife said, David, you're the king. You look like a fool. And he says to his wife, I'll be a fool for my God. I would dance naked before him. Don't take your clothes off. But you understand how David was so involved that the Ark of the Covenant came back to the place where it belonged, the presence of God. I'm going to ask those who are offering with the helping with the offering to come forward. The reason why we take an offering during the service, and I know there are some pastors who they set a box in the church and you can put it, you know, on the way in or way out. I really believe the offering is a part of worship. It's where we can say, Lord, I acknowledge that everything you give to us belongs to you. And we're giving you back a tithe, a gift, because we love you. And we want to see the work of the gospel going forth. So the giving is important. I also want to pray for our brave soldiers today. They are in harm's way. And they're on the job so we can meet in freedom. So would you join me in prayer? Father, this country's been through a lot over the last week or so. We ask, Father, that on the heels of an incredible mission pulled off by our brave military, that you continue to watch over our servicemen and women, especially those in the Mideast and those in areas that are vulnerable to attack. Father, put a hedge of protection around them. And we just ask, Father, that the leaders of this country would continue to seek you for their wisdom and guidance in how to go forward. I pray that for the president right down to the state levels, that we recognize your word has wisdom and authority when it's read and interpreted rightly. And so, Father, we pray. We also pray for the offering, Father. As an act of worship we give, may we give to the work of the church and its outreaches. So, Father, I'm praying that you bless both the gift and the giver. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the responsive reading today, I chose a psalm purposely, Psalm 150. Let me tell you something about the psalms, particularly psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. This is not one of them, but it could very well have been used this way. The Psalms of Ascent were psalms that were sung by people, by the Jewish people, on the Sabbath as they walk towards the temple or the synagogue. Now, I want you to picture this. They didn't have Mercedes, and they didn't have BMW Camels and all of that. They walked, right? They walked, and I want you to picture this scene. As they come into the houses, they join other walkers, and as they sing these psalms, we get more voices involved. It gets what? Louder and louder and louder until they enter the place of worship, singing, singing. Whoa. Powerful. I saw this firsthand when I was at a Promise Keepers clergy meeting in Georgia, Atlanta. And I was on the very last subway stop, one of the hotels, because I registered late. And I got on the subway to go to the Georgia Dome, where the meeting was happening. And myself and maybe 10 other pastors got on, next stop more. But we started singing how great is our God. And with each stop, it started getting louder and louder and louder and louder. It was magnificent to the point where I was standing, because I gave my seat to somebody else. I was a lot younger then. And there was a older man, well-dressed, sitting right opposite me. And he looks at me and he says, son, I liked him already. He says, son, what's going on? So I told him about Promise Keepers and what we were doing. And he says, sounds like heaven. And by the time we reached the Georgia Dome, everyone in the subway knew how great God is. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to the psalmist. Praise the Lord. Would you read this with me? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet, with the praise, praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, looking back on it, I shared my sentiments with Matt Redman. In the evangelical church, and especially in the conservative evangelical church, the evangelical church at one time in the conservative movement became Pharisees, Pharisees of music. They thought they had all the answers. And so, me being the rebel I am, when I became the pastor of the church, we started giving people freedom to worship. And we had introduced, Sharon knows, she was there. We had introduced drums. Drums are the devil. I never saw the devil play drums, No, they're not. They're drums. They're musical instruments. And then we put guitars on the platform. Rock and roll. It's a guitar. Any instrument can be used for good or bad. Correct? And then, cymbals. Well, you heard them. Everything I'm mentioning is biblical, isn't it? Tambourine. Right? First time I introduced tambourine, I thought there was going to be a lynch mob. We waste so much time on foolish stuff. And, the Word of God says, praise him with everything you got. Everything you got. Whether it's a keyboard, guitar, drums, cymbals and tambourines. I mean, how dare we tell the Lord what's proper in worship? Let him tell us. Let him tell us. Does that make sense? Okay. And I know, a lot of it is culture and all of that, and I respect culture. But when, when something isn't biblical, we have to own up to it and say, you know what, we have more freedom than we're allowing. So as we continue with worship, I want to emphasize that And also, if I can find my notes, I'll tell you how we're going to go forward. That's okay, I lost them, so I don't know where they are. One of the purposes of worship is fellowship, not just with each other, but with God. Remember before I said when we worship, it should just be him and us. And we can encourage one another that way, but it should be him and us. So as we start this next section, I want to ask, and you don't have to answer this, because I think I know what the answer is. When was the last time you got alone with God, just you and him, and talked to him and let him talk to you through the word, through music, through the scriptures, through the spirit? That ought to be happening all the time. By the way, when you're in the car, keep your eyes open, all right? Don't close them to pray. But you can pray in the car, right? All right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This next song is an old song. It's so old, it has what's called public domain, which means there's no copyright on it. It's called In the Garden. In the garden, he walks with me. Right? Lorraine shaking her head. All right? And it's a precious song. Ladies, you're not getting out of singing. So come on up. In the next three songs, I'm emphasizing fellowship with God because it's important. He wants to spend time with us. We're the ones that run from him. He wants to spend time with us. And we need to tell him how great he is. And that's right, he is great. Our God is awesome. And then we need to go forward by his grace and the power of his love. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, choir, you're back on. Ladies.
Voice to me is calling.
Christ shall come
I'm ending the service with this and three other songs. And the reason is this. We've been entrusted, as born-again believers, we've been entrusted with the most powerful message in the world and the most powerful message of love in the world. It is the cure for a terminal disease called sin. I know researchers that are working very hard on cures for cancer, cures for epilepsy, cures for all sorts of diseases, even tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears, right? Some of us know how annoying that can be. But this gives us the universal cure for the terminal disease that everybody is born with and has rebellion against God. And God gave it to us through Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross, that on the cross, he took the very thing he hated, our sin, and endured the full wrath of God in our place, so that by faith, when we come to him, in faith and repentance, he puts to our account, the moment we believe, his righteousness and takes on our sin. And so, this is what John says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Next verse, please. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save it. A lot of people get confused with that verse. And what that simply says is this. Because we're born with the rebellious nature of Adam, and we run from God. That's the truth. We run from God. That's our nature, our sin nature. We condemn ourselves. We condemn ourselves. The cure to that terminal disease is faith in Jesus Christ and what he did in our place. Would you agree? It doesn't sound like you agree. So why then are we so quiet? We have a universal cure for people. Will we be so quiet if we discovered the cure for cancer, for heart disease, for epilepsy? Those are important things. But we have the cure for a sin-sick world. And his name is Jesus Christ. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for you. If you were the only person left on this earth, he would have still gone to Calvary to die for you. That's how much he loves you. And he died so we can be holy forever. Because the moment we trust Christ, he imputes to us his holiness and takes our sin from us. And then as we live this life in grace, we discover his amazing grace that we're finally free to obey him, free to really live under his direction and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So without interruption, if you want to sit, I know it's been a long service, you can sit. I'm going to ask the ladies to come up. But sing this next song with a little bit of pep, because here's the gospel in a nutshell.
All thrones and dominions, all power. if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be. Your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them. You will always be.
You earn lunch. Were you blessed by this? I hope so. I certainly was. God is good. And all the time. And welcome. Good to see you here. Well, tell us your name. Aiden. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Yeah? I want to thank you all for coming. You've blessed my heart. Let's go forth through the mission doors and tell other people how much Jesus loves them. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this great time. Thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for our musicians and our technical people who helped put this together. Father, more than that, thank you for you and your amazing word, your amazing grace, your amazing love. Send us forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, and help us to glorify you in everything we do. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you Tuesday for prayer meeting or Tuesday night for men's group.